I wanted to say, I just want to say something real quick about, before, this isn't my message, this is just kind of a little side note, but about worship, worship through music. You know, and I know it's hard to do when we don't have the the PowerPoint working and everything, but, you know, guys, when we're doing worship through music, there's, you know, if you can sing along, sing along. If not, pay attention to the words. And something that I want you guys to think about, when I was listening to these songs, I was thinking about where they come from in Scripture. You know, like the last song had some words that were out of 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 13. Some of the songs had stuff out of Isaiah, out of the Psalms. And really it's a lot more, like for me when I'm singing these words, it's... for me, the worship experience is not just singing the song, but it's connecting the song with the Scripture and connecting the truth about God that's in Scripture with what I'm singing about, and having, you know, kind of my heart and my voice sing what I've learned about God through His Word. And so, you know, I just want to say that as a little note. You know, these songs, these writers got their music from something. You know, they didn't just make up these words. And they got it from Scripture. And if you go and you look at Scripture and you start to see, you know, where these words are coming from and what the biblical writers are talking about, then you'll appreciate the song more, and I think you'll get more out of worship. That's a little side note. So, is it that? Yeah. Thanks. And for our worship team. All right. Cool. Grab your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, if I can get some volunteers, Billy and Byron, to get Bibles. Go ahead and open up to Ephesians. Open up to Ephesians chapter 2 and set your finger there, set your bookmark there. Ephesians 2. Huh? You guys are pretty. Ephesians chapter 2. In this Bible, it's page 353. So if you have a camouflage Bible, it's 353. If not, sorry, I don't know. What? Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. When you find it, keep your finger there. Keep your finger there, because that's what we're going to be looking at. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Yeah, here's another little side note for you guys. I got another... This is bonus. I got two bonuses for you. Before even starting my message, two bonuses. These are free. Okay? Free of charge. I'm going to give you a nickel's worth of free advice, all right? If you have your own Bible that you read regularly and you bring it with you, it's easier to find and quicker to find these books of the Bible.
That's not true.
Okay? It is true. If you have your own Bible and you read it regularly and you're flipping through it regularly and finding things in it regularly, your mind builds a mental picture of what's in your Bible. If you went to Hume Lake, that's... If you didn't go to Hume Lake, that might be disturbing. But if you went to Hume Lake, that's hilarious. I'm feeling black and Baptist. All right. I promised my small group I'd say that. All right. All right, Ephesians 2. Can I get a volunteer to read the first 10 verses? Sorry, Sam. Good.
Okay. Yeah. When you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared us.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yay.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to attempt to briefly tell you a little bit of my testimony, a little bit of my personal story, which I understand some of you have heard already. If you're juniors and seniors, you might have heard this already. If you're freshmen and sophomores, you might not have. But I'm going to share a little bit of my story and why this passage is important to me. This passage really best kind of describes my life. Okay, so that's why I picked this passage, and I want to share that with you. And as most of you guys know, there's always like 100 things I could. There's 100 things I want to tell you, and 100 things I could tell you, but I'm going to try to only tell you. Just a couple things, so I'm not overwhelming you with biblical facts and so on. But anyway, let's take a look. Oops, that's the wrong bookmark. Let's look at this passage here after I find it again. Those first couple verses, okay? Look at this. The first three verses. And you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Which, as Sam said, is Satan, yeah. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Who thinks they understand what that passage is saying, those three verses? Who wants to take a shot at kind of summarizing or explaining that? We are sinful. Okay, good. Other ideas? Just raise your hand or blurt it out, whatever you want to do. What do you hear in this passage? What catches your attention in those first three verses? You know, I'll tell you something that Sean said up at Hume Lake that really caught my attention was he was talking about how as Christians, a lot of time what we do is, you know, he had two guys come up on stage. He did this a couple times with different things. But at one point, he had two guys come up on stage, and one guy was representing God, and one guy was representing, you know, beer and whatever else, drugs and everything. And he was talking about how, you know, there are times when he loves being over here holding and being held by the Lord. And then there are times when he's like, you know, but I kind of like this over here too. Anyway, look at this passage, okay? This passage is talking about our former life. Those of you who are Christians, this is your former life. If you are not a Christian, if you're not saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your current life. So this passage is talking to everybody in this room. Either your former life or your current life. This is what it says. Dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So what, you know, what's going on over here with this life, if you're in a sinful life, this is a life that's described as dead, sinful. It's described as what the world does, which means it's what everybody does. So on the outside, it might not look like it's all that bad. Everybody's doing it, but it's, you know, in light of the scripture, this is something that's destructive. And look what it says. Verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Everybody in this room has desires, right? Everybody has desires. You want to know what your desires are? You just look at what you do in your life that makes you happy. Okay? What do you do in your life that makes you happy? Think about that. You know, what do you find enjoyment in? Some of you find enjoyment in doing your physics homework. Some of you do not. Yeah. Some of you find enjoyment in playing sports. Some of you do not. Some of you find enjoyment in shooting each other up with airsoft guns in the mud, stepping in horse poo. Yeah. And some of you do not. But everybody, you know, we all have things that we enjoy doing. And the things that we enjoy doing are because of desires that we have, you know. And even if it's, you know, even if it's other things like, you know, like partying and getting into stuff that is against the law for you to get into, you know. It's coming out of desires that you have and needs that you want to have met, you know, inwardly. And what's interesting about this passage, what I love about this passage is there's really, this passage, the whole passage, kind of shows that there's two ways about it. There's the one, which is where you indulge your flesh. Whatever your sinful nature tells you to do, you know, this is what I want to do, this is what feels good to me, you know, this is what everybody's doing, this is what I'm going to do. And these first three verses talk about that. It says this is what the devil wants you to do, this is what the unredeemed world wants you to do, this is what is disobedient to do, this is what results in your death, your transgressions and your death. Well, it's not painted as a really pretty picture. Now see, again, why I picked this passage, and I said briefly, but you know, it's probably not going to happen. But anyway, why I picked this passage is because, you know, I've lived this passage. I've lived this passage, all 10 verses. Okay? There's three sections that I see in this passage. There's the first few verses are, like I said, the sinful. The next section that we're going to get into is what God does. And then the final couple verses talk about what I now do, having been rescued from this. When I was, to sum it up really, you know, sum it up, when I was in high school, when I was a senior, who's a senior? All right. When I was a senior, unlike you guys, I got myself into quite a bit of trouble. What did I do? Coincidentally, I was about to share some of that. When I was a senior, basically I did this, okay? Basically, I had desires. I had things that I wanted to do, things that I wanted, and I went ahead and did what I wanted. I was at, I grew up going to PBC, and when I was about a junior in high school, I really started doubting what I had been taught here. I started doubting the Christian faith. I started doubting the kind of the reality of God, because I didn't really see any evidence for it, you know. And so I kind of half believed in it, half doubted it. You know, didn't really know exactly what was going on. But, you know, what I could, you know, this religious stuff is kind of stuff you can't perceive with your five senses. You know, it's you know, they're talking about this God you can't really see, you can't really feel, you know, you got to believe in him with faith. And so I really didn't know about that when I was in high school. But what I did know about is what I could touch and what I could see and what I could smell and what I could taste and what I could hear, you know, my five senses. Lust of the flesh, okay? And so I just started doing, you know, basically what I wanted to do. I had a girlfriend at the time, and, you know, we messed around and did stuff we shouldn't have done. And I'm not going to go into details on that because you all don't need to know. but I'll tell you, you know, I completely trashed my sexual purity. Completely trashed it. Completely made a mockery of God's marriage covenant and plan, and just did what I wanted to do. And out of that, if any of you all have been in, if any of you all have been engaged in any sort of sexual immorality, with that, normally, naturally comes lying. You got to cover what's going on. You got to hide this in the darkness. You got to lie about it. So I started lying about it, trying to make sure my parents didn't find out. And out of that, gave birth to, not literally gave birth, but gave birth to, that sin gave birth to disobedience to parents. You know, so I started out just engaging in, I mean, this is what I bought into. What the devil doesn't tell you is it's all a package deal. Okay, let me tell you that right now. What the devil doesn't tell you is the whole thing's a package deal. I thought what I was buying was sex. That's what I thought I was buying. What the devil didn't tell me was I was getting the whole thing. I was getting sex, and sexually immoral, you know, that sounds pretty cool. You know, it seems like the pros outweigh the cons. But what he didn't tell me was that I'd become a liar, that I'd become disobedient to parents, that I would become angry, filled with anger, filled with hatred. And over the course of a year and a half, I really, in many different ways, descended into sin, descended into disobedience. And I thought I was buying into one thing, and I got the whole package deal. And I was doing everything that I wanted to do, and really ended up in a miserable place. Because here's the thing with sin. If it's sin with sex, or if it's sin with drugs, or if any way you're indulging your flesh, it says here, what does it say? The lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. If in any way you are fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, it never sustains you. Now, it might temporarily give you pleasure. Usually it does. It'll temporarily give you pleasure. But that pleasure goes away. And what happens? If it's drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever, what happens is it goes away and then you have to come back and get more. Question. Lust of the mind. Anything that's basically anything that's going to happen as an action starts in the mind, you know. It starts out, you know, lust in the mind can be basically any, you know, you start entertaining thoughts in your mind, and then that happens before you act. You know what I mean? I'll just leave it at that. But basically, you know, I said I wouldn't do 100 points, but another point is, you know, every single act of righteousness or unrighteousness that, you know, before. You're trying to do something that's good, or you're trying to not do something that's bad. That battle is won or lost in your mind before it starts. Before you get yourself into a situation, the battle's won or lost in the mind. But anyway, I'll just leave it there. Okay, so check this out. All right, so here's what happened. Some of you heard the story before, and I'm not going to actually tell you the whole story. So if you've heard the story, then you're lucky. But anyway, here's what happened. Okay, verse 4 happened in my life. Okay, verse 4. But God. Okay, I was dead in my sin, disobedience. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. Now see, I had heard the gospel before. Some of you guys heard the gospel up at Hume Lake. Some of you have heard it here or wherever. I had heard the gospel before, but I never understood the gospel. I never understood the gospel. This verse right here kind of is basically a little snapshot of the gospel, okay? Because look at what the verse says. The verse says, I'm going to change this. I'm going to change where it says us and so on. I'm going to have it say me, because this is really a verse that's very personal to me. And you guys can do the same for yourselves when you read it. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which he loved me. Now, if you notice, there's something really I want you to get here, is that this verse, notice what this verse does not say. It does not say the love in which I loved God. There is no requirement given in this verse for our God's mercy does not require our obedience in the beginning and our love for Him in the beginning. God's work of mercy starts with Him. God's work of mercy starts with Him. Okay, I was living disobedient. I was living in trespasses and sin, and this is what God did. God, who's rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved me, even when I was dead in trespasses, He made me alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Look at verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now this is really genuinely my life, my testimony, my experience. Okay. I want to share this with you guys because, you know, there's a lot of stuff I can tell you all about the Bible and what the Bible says and what the Bible says to do. But I want to tell you a little bit about why it's important to me. I want you to know why this book is important to me, why God is important to me, why I do what I do. You know, some of you guys have heard, if you haven't heard, I'll tell you now, that I've recently joined the Army Reserve, and I'll be leaving for basic training in July. And some of you are like, hey, that's pretty cool. And some of you guys are like, why is he doing that? You know, but you know, I'll tell you why I'm doing this. You see, there's a lot of things that I do now that some of the things don't really make sense. Why does Joe do this? Why does he do that? Some of the things like, oh, you know, okay. But listen, I'll tell you, I'm going in as a chaplain assistant. You guys know what a chaplain is? Okay, yeah. He talks to people that are about to die, yeah? What else does a chaplain do? Let me put it this way. If you guys went to Hume Lake, where did we go for worship? To chapel, okay? All right, yeah. Chaplain is also kind of another word. You know, a chaplain is like a minister, like a preacher. He's a guy that coordinates any religious services, so on and so forth. And you know, the primary reason why I'm going into the Army Reserve is I got two friends of mine who are a little bit older than you guys. Two friends of mine who are Christians, and they're kind of young in their Christian faith, and these are two guys that have been in a Bible study of mine that I have on Tuesday nights. Guys that I've known for a long time. Guys that I've worked with. Guys that are really brothers to me, and they're in the Army Reserve, and they're guys that I know that God has called me to disciple these guys. Okay, you guys know what it means to disciple? You know what a disciple is? A disciple is a learning believer, or a believing learner. That's what the word literally means. A learning believer. And a disciple is basically like a student of the Lord. You know, the Lord had 12 disciples. And He calls us. He says, we talked about this earlier in the year. Jordan talked about this, about the Great Commission of going forth to the ends of the earth and making disciples. And these are two guys that I know that the Lord wants me to pass on what I have learned to these guys and help them to grow in their faith. Their unit is most likely going to be deployed next year. And, you know, it's kind of hard to disciple somebody when they're across an ocean. So I thought about it, and I thought about it for a while, and it's like, well, you know what? Why not, you know? Everybody wants to be in the Army, so I figured I'd give it a shot. And then this way, you know, I get to go, potentially, hopefully, get to go with them and continue discipling them overseas, and also encountering a lot of people who need the gospel. You know, encountering a lot of fellow soldiers who would benefit greatly from having somebody to pray for them, having somebody to talk to, having somebody that can share the gospel with them. There's other things, you know, I come up here on Sundays, you know, there's a bowling tournament with In-N-Out Burger that I could be at. But, you know, I come up here on Sundays for a reason. And I join the Army for a reason. And I come on Wednesdays for a reason and a purpose. Huh? Yeah, because I like Sam. Yeah. Other than that, there's an additional reason, believe it or not. But, you know, there's a lot of things that I do, ways that I volunteer my time, decisions that I've made. Organize my thoughts here. There's decisions that I make. And some of you might ask, why does Joe do this? Why does he do this with his life? Why does he make these decisions? The decisions that I've made to be involved in ministry, because being involved in ministry takes up a lot of time, and if my time is in ministry, then my time can't be at work. And if I'm not at work, let me break it down for you. Every month, because I'm not at work as much, because I'm involved with you guys and some other ministries and helping people out and doing what the Lord wants me to do, because I'm doing that, it actually costs me in lost wages a little over $1,000 a month to be in ministry. So, and you might ask yourselves, you know, why on earth, you know, what is this guy thinking, you know? Doesn't he have something better to do? Wouldn't it make more sense to make money or to be sleeping in on Sunday or to do, does he have anything better to do, you know? And let me read this, okay? This is in this same passage here. He says, verse 7. Verse 7 and verse 10, okay? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kingdom towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, like I said, I spent a lot of my life, or not a lot of my life, but I spent a good part of my life in high school walking according to what? Sin. Yeah, walk according to sin, the devil, myself, all those words apply. Okay, I spent a lot of time doing what I wanted to do, fulfilling the desires of my flesh, walking according to that. Now, the Lord has saved me by grace, not so that I can keep on going back there and walking according to my flesh. The Lord did not call me to be saved by His love and His mercy and His grace, then to go back to continuing to do what I was doing before and then just go, oh, it's okay, Jesus forgives me, I can just keep on doing this. That's not what the Lord called me to do. And that's not what the Lord has called you guys to do. If you have been saved, if you have received the Holy Spirit, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, and the Lord saved you, and you were once a child of disobedience, and you have now been saved by grace, the Lord does not call you to continue to go back to that lifestyle and continue to try to fulfill your desires with the flesh and then find out every single time that it doesn't work out. What the Lord has called you to do is right here in verse 10, that you are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. These are good works that are part of what He's doing in verse 7, that He's showing His exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, so what I want to end with is this. The things that I do, now you might not understand why, you know, exactly, but the things that I do, it's not because I don't have anything better to do. You know, I don't come up here because, Joe's got nothing better to do. Of course he wants to come here Sundays and Wednesdays. And, you know, it's not it, okay? That's not why any of us come here. There's a lot of, you know, the staff in here. I want you guys to stand up, the staff in here, the volunteer staff. Now, Jordan, you can stand up too. But, yeah, that's it. I want the staff to stand up. I want you guys to give them a round of applause, okay? Now we all have other things that we could be doing, okay? Now we don't come up here because we have nothing better to do. Okay? Now listen to this. I want you guys to get this, okay? We don't come up here because we have nothing better to do. We come up here because of this. We come up here because there is nothing better to do. Okay? I want you guys to get that. It's not because there isn't anything better to do. It's because there's nothing better to do. You understand the difference? Same exact words, but you understand the difference? It's not because I got nothing to do today. I think I'll come up here on Sunday. It's because there is nothing better to do. We've all tried fulfilling our desires in the lust of the flesh. We've all tried living our lives according to the world and according to the devil. And it doesn't work out, okay? And if any of you guys are trying that, as Christians or not, it is not going to work out. You're buying yourself into a package deal that you don't want, and you're not aware of it. You're being deceived by the devil, thinking you're getting something good, but it's a package deal that's going to kill you, okay? And not only that, if you're a Christian, you might be saved, you might have forgiveness, but you are destroying your opportunity for blessing. You are destroying your opportunity to see the goodness of God working in your life and the reality of that, the reality of the awesomeness of the riches of Christ Jesus in glory towards us, okay? You're missing out. We come up here because, you know, that's what we want. We want to see what God's doing. We want to be a part of who God is and what He's doing. And I'm going to close with this illustration. I'm going to close with this illustration because I like this illustration. I like illustrations in general. But I was at a probably the last manager meeting that I'll be to with In-N-Out Burger. It's a divisional meeting, so the divisional manager. The divisional manager comes. It's early in the morning. All the shift managers in the division are there. So there's a bunch of different managers. And part of the meeting, the divisional manager asked this question. He said, "What could we do as a company to make your job more enjoyable or more appealing?" Because the goal is they want to have more managers. And you're not going to have more managers unless the job is more enjoyable, right? You know, no one's going to want to be a manager if they see a bunch of managers that are like, "Man, this job sucks." You know, no one's going to want to do it. So like, okay, what can we do to make this job more enjoyable? Okay, and he went around the room and asked everybody in the room to say in front of the rest of the people in the meeting, you know, what do you think could be done to make the job more enjoyable? And people said all kinds of things. They said, "Oh, well, you know, I really don't like having you close one shift and then you got to come in the morning the next shift. That's hard to do." Other people are like, "You know, I really don't like, being transferred so much. I don't like being at one store, just getting used to it and then getting transferred over another store. I really don't like that." And he got to me and I said, "You know, I can't answer that question." I said, "It's absolutely impossible for me to answer that question." And I said, "If you want to know why, I'll tell you why after the meeting. Because I don't want to take up your whole meeting." Okay? And I went and I talked to him after the meeting, and my divisional manager, Luis, I told him this. I said, "This is what it's like. You know, what can we do to make In-N-Out more enjoyable?" I said, "This is what it's like. If your father, if your dad gave you a Ferrari to drive around, and you had a brand new Ferrari, and you were cruising around that and just top down, just enjoying it, okay? Your father gave you a Ferrari to drive around, free, didn't cost you anything. And you're loving this car, and he's like, you can drive it whenever you want, okay? Now, if someone were to come up to you and give you a Chevy Nova and was like, what can we do to make this Chevy Nova more enjoyable? You know, there's nothing you can do. It's like, I've already been driving a Ferrari. There's nothing you can, you know, you can't make a Chevy Nova more enjoyable. I've already been driving a Ferrari. You know, that's it, you know? Like, there's nothing you can do to that car. You can do whatever you want to that car. I'm still going to want to drive the Ferrari. Don't even ask me what to do to the car, you know? And that's the way, you know, there's all kinds of things that I can do with my life. All kinds of things, other things I could be doing. But they don't compare. They really don't compare. They don't compare to God, okay, and to what God is doing. Now, God has called us. We are His, verse 10. I want you guys to look at this. Read this, verse 10. We are His workmanship, okay? We are His workmanship, created. Let me look it up. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Is that what it says? Yes, that is what He says. Okay? And I want to, you know, I just want to share that. That's kind of a little part of my testimony. That's, you know, who I am, what I've done, what God has done, what I'm doing now, and why. I hope that helps you understand me a little bit better. And hopefully in a couple weeks I'll be able to give you guys a follow-up message on how to make that transition. How do you make that transition from, you know, if you're a Christian and you're still getting stuck engaging the lust of the flesh and you want to make that transition to enjoying God, hopefully in a couple weeks I'll be able to give you a message on that, on how to make that transition. But let's close in prayer. Bow your heads, please. Bow your heads in reverence to the Holy Father. Don't laugh. I said reverence. Okay. Father God, God, I want to thank You for this time. God, I just want to thank You for just the gift of community that You give us, the gift of having a group of people who are all called by Your name, who are just in various stages of life and various stages of faith, and You have called us to help each other out and to look after each other. And Lord, I want to thank You for Your word. I want to thank You for just the reality that You want us to know who You are, and You want us to enjoy You, that You want us to have our desires fulfilled in a way that is holy and satisfying, that You don't want us to be stuck in this garbage that the world and the devil tries to pass off as pleasurable, but You want us to enjoy the pleasure that comes from You. That's complete, that is rich, that is overwhelming, satisfying, awesome, unexplainable, and unexpected. And Lord, I just want to ask just a blessing on Your word spoken here today, that You would honor Your word and You would honor Your commitment to the young men and young women in this room, and that everything that's done here would be to the praise of Your glory. And in Your Son's name, amen.